Welcome back to the program. This past week saw the pageantry of religion and the selection of a new pope. Next month, we'll experience a different kind of pageantry as the baseball season gets underway, and for many, it will be a kind of religious experience in its own right. Long the national pastime, baseball has a special place in the pantheon of sports and entertainment. But with all the competition these days, does baseball have the same kind of appeal as its superstitions, streaks, and luck, and its sense of you gotta believe been flattened by metrics? Has William James been replaced by Bill James? And has the inspiration fostered by father and son playing at the altar of Driveway Cat given way to Nate Silver and Billy Bean? This is part of the story told by NYU President John Sexton in his new book, Baseball as a Road to God, a book based on his wildly popular class at New York University. John Sexton has been president of NYU since 2001, prior to which he was the dean of the law school for 14 years. In addition to his duties as president, he teaches four full courses each academic year, making him one of the few university presidents to teach a full academic schedule. It is my pleasure to welcome John Sexton to the program to talk about baseball as a road to God, seeing beyond the game. John Sexton, thanks so much for joining us.
It's very nice to be with you, Jeff.
Great to have you here. What is it about baseball that seems to always make it a metaphor for so many aspects of life, whether it's religion, whether it's life itself, the relationships we have? There is something about baseball that has this magical power.
Well, I think it has a grabbing capacity that's quite special among sports. The game does not have a clock. It's timeless, and as a result, it plays out in what at the surface can appear to be boring, but it plays out in slow motion that invites you to notice the huge significance of small things, to notice the majestic in the tiny, and you know, the fact that as each pitch occurs, as each situation changes, there's almost a kaleidoscope of possibilities. And what I try to do in the course, which started almost with an oxymoron in answer to a challenge by a student, you know, how could you be interested in something so boring? What I try to do is teach skills, which turns out are very similar to the skills of the contemplative life. And baseball has a unique ability to inculcate those skills in us if we become deep fans. It's not for everybody. I'm not making a claim here that it is the road to God, but it is certainly capable of being a road to God.
Also, the length of the season and that certain teams have played in certain places for so long, the way in which teams become so inculcated within their community and within a sense of place also gives it some of this power, it seems.
Well, you know, I have to say, since one of the things baseball has taught me is to notice all of the content pregnant in a statement, that I could choose to take those words as hostile words, since you're out there in the land of schism, you know, and I'm still smarting from 1958. But you're right. I have to concede that even in your schismatic existence out there, in the land of those who steal, there is this seasonality to it, and there is, because of the fact that the Brooklyn Dodgers were so much part of our lives as we grew up, those of us who experienced them between 41 when I was born and 58 when they were stolen. And the same would be true of the Giants, for those that were of that faith. They built community. Now other sports teams can do that, but you're right that because baseball is a day in, day out sport, that makes a difference because it's part of the constant background music of life.
One of the things you talk about is the degree to which faith is really a part of baseball. I mean, can be summed up in the idea of you gotta believe. And yet all of that seems to be changing today as a result of this focus on metrics, this sense that all of the superstitions and the curses and all of the things that we associate with baseball somehow goes out the window in the face of raw numbers and analysis.
This is a wonderful point that you make, and let me try to put it in terms that make a point both about baseball and about religion. This is the kind of thing we would discuss in the course. So Abraham Joshua Heschel talks about the fact that there are the things that are known, and then there are the things that are knowable, but we don't yet know, and we may not come to know for 1,000 years. But then there is the unknowable. The word I use for this in the class is the ineffable. You know, that the ineffable is the word that we use in English to denote those things which we can't put in words. The love between spouses in an I thou love affair, or the meaning of life, or the existence of something beyond this physical sphere. These are all ineffable. Now, I'm the head of a research university. I believe in science. I believe in its wonders. I also believe that science has not yet revealed to us all that it will reveal to us, and that will come. And 50 years from now, our present science will look primitive compared to what it is. Our world of what is unknown but knowable now will have expanded, and the world is. But we're in danger now as a society, and here I make my connection back to your point with sabermetrics and Billy Beane and the quantification of baseball. You know, we're in danger of falling victim to what I call scientism, that we think science is going to give us all the answers, and science will never be able to capture love. It'll never be able to capture the depth of meaning that some people label with the word God. Now, we then anthropomorphize it. That's a different issue, but label with the word God. And baseball is yes, you want to know all you can. You want to know what's knowable. You want all that data in front of you. But, boy, you're making a mistake if you think that you can do it all based on that, because there's something that an old salty scout can spot that's ineffable but may make the difference between a five-tool player who's a champion and a five-tool player who never makes it.
Does that argument cut both ways? The same as you would make the case that it is not reducible just to the cognitive. Can the case be made on the other side that we overemphasize baseball as too symbolic, that we are trying to read too much into it, essentially?
Look, I will confess the fact that claiming that baseball is a road to God is in a way an overstatement. In the end, as the book is closing, I say, okay, so baseball is not a road to God, at least for most of us, okay? That doesn't mean that the exercise of using baseball to heighten sensitivity, to create the skills of noticing wonder and awe, and also to create a greater understanding of religion by virtue of using the study of something where people aren't defensive, the study of something that is self-evidently secular through the lens of the religious, and then refracting that back into the okay, so what's the key to religion? Is the core of the Catholic Church? I'm a Catholic, so I use this the example. Is it the hierarchy? No, it's never been the teaching of the Church. You know, the papacy's had some good centuries, some bad centuries, some good decades, some bad decades. You know, some of us think that the latest great pope, hopefully not the last great pope, was John the 23rd. Yet the Church is going to beatify and sanctify John Paul II, at least, if not, you know, Benedict. But the Church is not the hierarchy. The Church is not even its dogma. The essence of the Church is the experience of the Eucharist and the risen Christ. And there's a way that you can study baseball and see the ineffable in the moments of baseball between father and son, or in a 55,000 people rising at Aaron Boone's home run, or responding to Lou Gehrig's speech. And lo and behold, you say, whoa, wait a minute, that gives me a different view of religion.
Is it a sense of it being transcendent, or is it simply a sense of such a great and rich history? And if so, are the two connected in some way?
I think that they are connected. And I think, again, to repeat, I'm not claiming for everybody that mm-hmm. it will be the case. But for many, baseball is capable of transporting us to those moments, that transcendent plane, to use your word. But the transcendent plane is in part connected in illo tempore to earlier times, you know, to the archetypal time. It's connected back. And when the crowd cheers for Cal Ripken, it evokes Lou Gehrig. And everything connects, and that leads to thickness in the experience, to richness in the experience, at the experiential level, as well as at the sabermetrics level.
Are there any other sports that you've seen that have the same kind of metaphysical connection?
I'm not a triumphalist. That's why I say a road to God, and I would recognize even in the sport of hockey. I was talking to a friend just yesterday about hockey as a road to God. Now, that's incomprehensible to me. It's not my faith. But on the other hand, when my family and I trek through the outback in Australia and we come upon Uluru, or what the Anglos call Ayers Rock, and we've all seen the pictures of this great orange monolith rising from the flatness of the outback. To me, it's a beautiful rock. To my Aboriginal guide, it's the sacred place, and he asks us, please, not to walk up. This is the way the religious experience operates. For some who see what I see as the Eucharistic Christ before me after the consecration has occurred, others see bread and wine and are just incapable of comprehending it. And this is the way it is with sports as well, be it hockey or baseball. Now, there are features to baseball, I think, that make it singularly suitable, and it's the fact that it is without a clock and it occurs in slow motion, and that it has all of these almost infinite varieties of possibilities, and that the astute fan can feel them and touch them. What's he going to throw next is a question my son and I are constantly asking. You try to be in the game.
The only other sport that I've ever really heard talked about in the same way or written about in the same way, even by your friend Pete Hamill, is boxing.
Yeah, and that's, I can't get past the bellicosity of it. I can't see a boxing match and not think concussion. And of course, increasingly, that's coming to be the case with football. But that's my failing. I wouldn't. Pete himself, who comes and mesmerizes my students, that we read his novel Snow in August, and he mesmerizes my students when he and Doris Kearns Goodwin, because they read her book Wait Till Next Year, and Tom Oliphant, because they read his book Praying for Gil Hodges. When the four of us stand before them as, granted, you know, ancient relics, but nonetheless people, all of whom genuflect each time we think of the Dodgers and have to expectorate each time we mention the word O'Malley, that's the kids feel in us that tense. But even Pete, he has a capacity to see in boxing holiness that I don't see, but that's the story of the sacred and the profane.
New York University President John Sexton. His book is Baseball is a Road to God, Seeing Beyond the Game. John, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.